Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, How Can I Become a Wiser Christian?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you from God our Father and our King Jesus in heaven. Amen. Well, last week we talked about the wise men from the East who brought gifts to the child Jesus and worshiped Him, and we asked, what kinds of gifts can we give to God, right? And we answered that. Today I'd like to ask another question related to the wise men, namely, are you also wise? Do you have the wisdom of God in you? Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Do you have understanding? Do you have insight? Can you see the way through life where others cannot? Well, let's take a look at this today, that we might increase in wisdom. Let's understand, where can we find wisdom? Where can it be discovered? How can we lay hold of it? Why is it important for us? What actually is wisdom? And if you have wisdom as a Christian, how can you get more of it and increase in it in your life? Let's talk about wisdom today and see what God has to say to us about it in His holy word. What can we say? Well, the first thing God tells us and says to us today is this. Mark this, my children. I want you to seek after wisdom with all your heart. Seek wisdom. Have you heard that word from the Lord? We might say, why? Why should I seek wisdom? Why is it important? Why should I go after that above and against over other things in my life and pursue wisdom, Lord? Well, God answers that for us in all over the Bible, but let's take a look at Proverbs 3. Let's see why God says we should seek wisdom. He says, this is Proverbs 3, verse 13 and following. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, for the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and its profit better than gold. Think about that. Is its profit better than gold? Will it do more for you than money? God says, wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. What kinds of profit? Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So wisdom leads you into a joyous and light path in life. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. Say happy.
Happy.
That's also blessed. Would you like that? God says wisdom will grant it to you. For I, the Lord, by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding I established the heavens. By my knowledge, the deeps broke forth, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Don't let them escape from your sight, and then there'll be life to your soul and adornment for your neck, and then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. What is the promise there? That your journey through life will be secure. A lot of people's lives are very tottery, and into destruction they fall. Wisdom will make them sure. He goes on, if you sit down, you will not be afraid. In other words, fear will vanish out of you if you have wisdom. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. It'll be like wisdom is a great fortress in which you are resting. You will not be afraid of sudden panic or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So how would you compare the profit of wisdom compared to silver and gold and such things? Is it better?
Yes.
Oh, man. Woo! All these things are fantastic. And God says these are laid up for you in wisdom. What does wisdom do? It gives you the discernment and the right way to go through life, to make the right choice, to be able to see the path where to others they cannot. It's invisible to them. Wisdom is sort of like a flashlight to us in the dark. It's sort of like a radar to a plane that's flying in a fog or in a great cloud bank. It enables you to pierce through the mist and bring you safely in. Wisdom is as if you were lost in the wilderness, and wisdom cries to you and finds you in the wilderness and says, over here, here I am, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left. And so how excellent is wisdom if we lay hold of it? Have you thought about this lately? Well, consider an earthly example, just an earthly one of how wisdom and insight excels other things. I heard the story once of a truck that was caught in a tunnel in New York or New Jersey. Can't verify the story, but the point is important. The story goes like this. The truck had wedged itself into the tunnel and jammed itself. The top of the truck was stuck in the concrete, and it couldn't be budged one way or this. And the traffic began to build up, and the city officials got quite upset and frantic because the whole city's roadways are stuck now. And so they called for the best minds and the best engineers. And one said, well, we could break the top of the tunnel and push it through. Or we could cut off the top of the truck and then push it through. Another said, well, we could just try to jam it more. But they were at a standstill. They were at a quandary. Nobody could figure out what to do until a little boy standing with his mommy said, but why don't they just let the air out of the tires? And so the truck was freed by the insight of a little boy. Do you see how insight and wisdom gives you the ability to see where others cannot? It excels. It enables you to go forward when others have no idea the way to go. And that was just an earthly example. What I'm talking to you about today is heavenly wisdom, so that you can see and pierce into your future, into the choices that you make, so that your steps are secure when other people don't know the way to go. And they fall into destruction, trouble, pain, and broken lives, and ultimately condemnation, even at the judgment, if not remedied. One of the earliest Christian writings ever outside of the New Testament is called the Didache. You ever hear of that? The beginning of this says, there is a way that leads to life, and there's a way that leads to death. And there's a great difference between these two ways. What's wisdom do for you? Wisdom helps you to see the path that is right, that leads to life. Wouldn't you love that in your life? That you always could see when others don't know the way to go, you're like, this is the way. We walk this way. And you have insight to go forward. And so God says, mark this, my children. He who trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And then in Proverbs 4, God says, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Do you believe that? Do you take that to heart right now? Okay, so that's point number one. God says seek wisdom, okay? Point number two today is there are two types of wisdom, though, in the world. God says beware, not all wisdom in this age is of me. There's a great difference between these two kinds. One you should seek and one you should avoid. For the Bible says there's a wisdom of this world and there's a wisdom of the world to come. There's a wisdom from below, and a wisdom from above, from heaven. There's the wisdom of men, and then there's the wisdom of God. And that's the one we should be seeking. Let me give you an example of all the wisdom that's out there in the world today that we should avoid. Just here's one example. You look at Hollywood. You look at the Disney children's movies. It's filled with this theme. Every popular rock star, every celebrity says this. Talk show hosts, every sitcom affirms it. What am I talking about? Here's the wisdom, one of the gems and nuggets of this world. Follow your heart. Follow your feelings. They'll never lead you astray. They'll lead you in the path. Just trust your heart. Isn't that the wisdom of our age? I mean, you see it everywhere. I was just up in Jacksonville the other day for a concert, and I was watching TV for a moment, and it was on the commercial. Trust your heart. Trust your feelings. It's epitomized in that movie Star Wars, remember, where Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Luke, trust your feelings. Man, it's all over the place, this kind of thing. Rock stars saying, listen to your heart, baby. And the woman or the man hero in movies always says, I have to follow my heart. It's the only way. I must trust my feelings. My heart knows the way. Yes, Pinocchio, or whatever. But the wisdom of God is of a different sort, I want you to know. The wisdom of God in Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? And God rebukes his people time and again in the Bible for following after the stubbornness of their evil heart and their feelings. What does the wisdom of God say on the contrary? It says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Trust the word. Follow the word. That's sound wisdom, right? So there's a difference. God says, beware. Even the devil is called prudent in the Bible, and the demons are called wise, but it's not a wisdom of God that they have. And so the world has its own types of wisdom, such as, again, survival of the fittest. Only the strong survive. Life is just about be nice or having fun. You only go around once, have pleasure. And as all the streams lead to the great ocean, so all religions lead to heaven and to God. You know what that is? That's crock. That's a bunch of junk. That's the wisdom of this age. It's foolishness to God, who says Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. And so you look at the world, and the world gets all excited whenever in a movie some old man shows up with a cane, right? Bent over with a white beard. You know, some of you might qualify for this. Comes in there and wants to give a few proverbs here and there, and everybody goes, ooh, he must be a wise man. He's old and wears a beard and has a robe. And we all get excited when someone turns a sentence around like Yoda from Star Wars. Instead of where we'd say, I have to go to the bathroom, he'd say, ah, to the bathroom I must go. And well, ooh, that's wonderful. But you know what? The wisdom of God is of a different sort than the wisdom of men. And God says, beware and avoid the wisdom of men. It's foolishness in my sight. Let's listen to that in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1, God says, or Paul says, for the word of the cross, the gospel that I'm preaching, salvation through Jesus and the good news, is foolishness. It's folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. God says in Scripture, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. The cleverness of the clever I will thwart, as you read, right? Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world didn't know God through its wisdom, through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So what's the wisdom of God, friends? Jesus Christ, and to believe in him and the preaching of the gospel and to believe in heavenly things that he's told us. That's wisdom. So if you follow that, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life that one may escape the snares of death. The wisdom of the world, are you going to escape hell? Are you going to escape death? Are you going to escape trouble and brokenness? No, only the wisdom of God will teach you this. So that's point two. Number three is, where are you going to find wisdom? If you want to get wiser today, where are you going to find it? God's going to answer that in the Bible in Job. Job says, where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man doesn't know the way to it. It's not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not in me. So what do you learn so far by that? Where are you going to find wisdom? You tell me. In nature? The deep? Hasn't heard of it. Are you going to find wisdom in the woods? Like a lot of people try to? Nope. How about in the mountains? Nope. How about amongst people, PhDs? For it says here, it's not found in the land of the living, and man doesn't know the way to it. The world wants to go to PhDs, right? Or celebrities who appear on Oprah Winfrey. Oh, we're going to hang on their words like gold. They must know. They're rich and famous and good looking. No, God says. Whence then comes wisdom? Where is the place of an understanding? It's hid from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the air. It's not in nature. Abaddon and death say, we've heard a rumor of it with our ears. In other words, even the deepest parts of Sheol don't know wisdom. Where are you going to find it? Here it is, verse 23. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, sees everything under the heavens, when he gave the wind its weight and meted out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and thunder, then he saw it and declared it, he established it and searched it out. Where are you going to find wisdom? You answer me right now. Huh?
In the Bible.
And the Bible's a good answer, but that's later in the sermon. Where, according to this verse, God. You don't look anywhere except in God alone is where you're going to find wisdom. Everything else is foolishness. Even the birds don't know it. Even the sea and death and such things don't know it. And then where, what is wisdom is our next question. Here it is. God declares it. It's in me. And then he says, and he said to man, this is it. Listen carefully if you're going to be wise. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Are you wise people today? Do you fear the Lord?
Yes.
Do you tremble at his word?
Yes.
Do you quake before his presence? Yeah. I only heard one or two say there. At least we have some wise people here. But by this word alone, it destroys the wisdom of the world, right? I used to like Kung Fu, like the movie, the show, David Carradine. And I watched a little bit of that this week. Actually, it does have some interesting, neat sayings in there. But you know what? I learned, when I used to think that was all wisdom, now that I know Christ and I learn his word, guess what it teaches me about all that kung fu wisdom in that show? Utter foolishness. It's no longer kung fu to me, it's just foo. Okay? It's foolishness. And as Beth said, you could say it's foo-foo. Why? Even though they might have a few good things to say, or interesting, it's not founded on the fear of the Lord. And by it, you cannot escape the snares of death. Right? And therefore, that's foolishness. I used to like things like Star Wars, or Native American Indian chiefs, and Eastern masters, and I'd read a few of their words, and they might have a few interesting things to say, but again, it's foolishness, because it's not founded on the fear of the Lord. And you might also look at the wisdom of the world, like I was saying. You ever see the looks in the faces of the audience on these talk shows when they get some celebrity on there, like Beyonce or Tom Cruise or somebody like that? And they just hang upon their words like gold. And all the audience is like, oh, I want to hear the next gem of wisdom, the next nugget. Oh, teach me something, you wise celebrity. You know what God says? Foolishness. You know why? It's not founded on the fear of the Lord. And God says, if you want wisdom, mark this. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. So are you wise men and women today? Do you fear the Lord? Praise God. I've met Christians. Sometimes I've shared the word with them and they've not feared the Lord. They may be wise, but they're acting like fools in that case. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom, and to depart from evil, that's understanding. And so by this, the whole world, if you will, is condemned as fools, except for Christians, because we only fear the Lord. But as Abraham said, of the rest of the world, there's no fear of God in this place. So next question, where does this wisdom lead us, this fear of the Lord? Oh, great places. God says, this wisdom will lead you to eternal life. Because guess what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's not the end of it. It leads you somewhere. Its purpose is to get you to believe and fear the great almighty majesty of God and his holiness. And then by that fear to believe his word. And by that fear to believe that there is a coming day of judgment. And by that fear to have remorse and terror over your sins. And by that fear to ask, as the Philippian jailer did, what must I do to be saved? That's a wise question. And then by that same fear to hear the wonderful words of our Savior as it was spoken through Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. And then believing that word through the fear of the Lord, you enter into eternal life. And anybody who does that, God says, I count you as very wise because you've come to my Son. For the Bible says of Jesus Christ in Colossians 2 verse 3, all the treasures of wisdom and understanding and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ. Can you picture Jesus today and his cross like a big treasure chest? You know, like pirates have, and you open it up and there's gems and jewels and pearls and gold of every sort and kind. That's where wisdom's found, in God's Son. And to know him is wisdom. Amen? Jesus says the queen of the south will arise at the judgment with this generation, can condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, I tell you, something greater than Solomon is here, speaking of himself. And Jesus is that wisdom of God. He died, he rose again to give us eternal life. And he now teaches us, as wisdom, how to live. What does Jesus say to us about our lives? Once you believed in me, now he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, and he does them, he keeps them, these words, that person is like a wise man who built his house, founding it upon a rock, digging deep, and he founded it upon this word. And then the floods came, and the storm came, and the winds came, and they beat against that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. That's the wise man. But who's the fool, says Jesus Christ, the man who doesn't build his life on this word, who hears them and doesn't do them. That's like a man who built his house upon sand, and the winds came, and the storm came, and it blew and beat against the house, the flood did. And great was the fall and the ruin of it because it had not been well built. Do you believe that today? We are to be wise by building our lives, by keeping this word. That's what Jesus says, and especially following truth and love. So, are you wise today? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, you've believed this. Praise God. Have you arrived? Are you at the peak of wisdom? We know Jesus. We know his wisdom. But guess what? We got to keep growing in it, right? I remember when I first came to Christ, I knew Christ, and God counted me as very wise for knowing him. But guess what? I didn't know, can I lose my salvation? What about the Lord's Supper? What happens there? Should I baptize my child, Naomi, or wait till she's an adult? What about when Beth and I are at odds? How do I discern the right way to go there? Or what's happening at the end of time? Is the rapture really going to happen? Or what about Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? Are they saved? All these kinds of questions come to mind. I didn't have the wisdom for it. Where do you find wisdom and grow in it? God says, mark this, my children. I've given it to you right here for the taking. Read this word and learn it, and you'll become wise. Paul said to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. How wise are you? The more you know of this word, the quicker and faster you're going to see the way through life where other people don't. They're like, which way should I go? And it's a mist and a fog, but you have headlights. You have a flashlight. You see. As it's written in Psalm 119, thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I remember when I was at the ELCA seminary, these guys are PhDs. They've studied their whole life. And yet if I just knew this word, I could stand up and actually question them, and not that I was trying to win per se, but I would win the talk because simply by this word against PhDs, because it makes me wiser than my teachers. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. So that's the golden nugget, not Oprah Winfrey. Not the talk show Good Morning America. This is the gem, God's truth, his Bible. That's where you're going to get wisdom. Second place, where else are you going to ask? I gave it away. Ask God. Remember Solomon? He's sleeping. God comes in a dream. Ask what I shall give you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And it pleased the Lord. And he says, I'm going to give you that more than anybody else. And I'm going to even give you a long life and things you didn't ask for, like riches and such things, because you asked for wisdom. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody lacking it today? We can all raise our hand, right? Then let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, but ask in faith without doubting, he says, that you may receive it. So if you want wisdom and insight, ask God. Just last summer, I was up helping my dad in Cape Cod, and I was trying to put a shackle on a chain out in the water. don't know if you know what a shackle is, like a horseshoe with a pin. And I was trying for like 10 minutes to put this shackle into that chain, and it just wouldn't fit. And finally, I started getting a little cold, and I finally just bowed my head on my dad's boat, and I said, God, give me insight in this. And I heard, put the pin through it. I was like, oh my goodness. 10, 15 minutes here. I was like, okay, boop, and it was done. It was a different solution. God does that for us in heavenly things in our life. I bang my head against that wall, at least in old days. How do I get this sermon together? I don't understand it. God, give me insight. Oh, that's what I should preach on. Thank you, Lord. He'll do that for you. Ask him, I'm telling you. But when you ask, also ask for the heart to keep it. Because Solomon had all this wisdom, right? But guess who came along? Women. Later in his life, his wives led his heart astray after foreign gods, and he departed, and he wasn't wholly true to the Lord his God. He had wisdom. He wrote a good part of the Bible, but he was not given he did not have the heart always to follow it. So pray, when you pray for wisdom, also pray, God, grant me the heart to keep it always and to follow after where wisdom leads, for I'll tell you, it leads to life. For the Lord gives wisdom, Proverbs 2 says, for from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his saints. And I'll tell you today, it's all found in whom? Jesus Christ. He is wisdom. And if you know him, you are wise. And we know so much that the world doesn't know. We know the beginning of this world, how it began. We know the end of this world, what's coming. We know God's ways and all things, not every detail, but the sum of them, that God has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Jesus, to unite all things in him. So let's look carefully how we walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Remembering every word of God proves true. He's a shield for those who take refuge in him. And we're looking for that day when the promise shall come from Daniel, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament and like the stars forever and ever. Therefore, to the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How Can I Become a Wiser Christian? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to leave a comment on this message or hear more messages, you can go to ChristLutheran915.org. That's ChristLutheran915.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.